Hello, friends. Today, I want to talk about Artemis Fowl. All right. Artemis Fowl is a book about a 12-year-old mastermind, evil genius, if you will, and he is trying to hunt down fairies. He wants to find fairies and then get their gold from them. Of course, coming from a criminal background like he does, he wants to get the gold. You manipulate and use them and try to get that and then get, hopefully, incredibly wealthy. I have a couple issues with this story, or a couple things that irked me about it. And here's a couple disclaimers. Number one, I've read a lot of the series before, so I really do, I have really enjoyed these books in the past. I think having this 12-year-old kind of evil villain protagonist is really complex, fascinating, really fun. I think it's also a very creative story. But this time around, I wanted to point out a couple flaws. I don't normally do this because I think there's too many people who like critiquing things and pointing out issues. I kind of think of it like there's the destroyers and the creators. We need more people creating goodness instead of just pointing out all of the bad stuff. I try to be really careful about not being a destroyer. But I want to like pause a little bit and dig a little deeper into Artemis Fowl, because I hope that this can hopefully kind of turn on its head and be a little bit uplifting at the end. And so let's see. Let's jump into the conversation and talk about this. My first issue when I started reading this book this time around is how calculated the magic was. I felt a little bit like this story unmagics magic. So they're in this book, the fairies, they all live underground because they've tried to escape all of the disasters of the mud people, as they like to call us. So the mud people have, of course, polluted the earth at this point. They're selfish and greedy. The fairy people just want nothing to do with them, so they all live underground. It's a very unpleasant underground experience when you start to read about the fairies. They've got traffic jams. They've got crappy work situations. The fairy that we follow the most, Holly, she talks about having, you know, needing to moisturize her ears because the police helmets aren't good for her little pointy ears. All creative. I love the creative element of this. But this time around, I found myself a little frustrated because when I read about fairies, I realize I want there to be an element of mystery. I think that there is this sort of expectation for fairies to have, you know, something more that we can't fully understand, to be a little otherworldly in a way that they just weren't in this book. And like I said, in the past, this hasn't bothered me at all. But this time, I guess I was just kind of thinking about how our society has a tendency to try to calculate everything. We make our own scientific advancements and we're trying to uncover more and more of the reality around us and understand it better. And I think that is so beautiful, to try to better understand our reality around us. But I think there's something really, really important about admitting that the world is more complex than, and it takes a lot for us to understand it, I guess. And there's some things that we can't fully understand still. There's layers and there's richness around us. And this has really inspired the title of the podcast, which is Magic in the Ordinary. I believe that there are deeper levels all around us. There's deeper beauty. There's complexity. You know, it's easy to call that magic. There's this kind of magic in the ordinary that we need to kind of reclaim and not just live on the surface, but get a little deeper. And so I guess my response when reading this kind of calculated magic, unmagicked magic, if you will, I wanted to kind of say, I believe that there is still mystery even in modernity. The world is still complex, even as we get better about understanding facts about it. There are other layers beneath that. That's my first point, is I wanted to see more mystery and more magic. Number two, I've mentioned earlier how they bash the mud people. This book starts very human bashing. And to be fair, the series, as it goes on, I believe it does get a little bit more sympathetic, shall we say, towards our kind. Artemis is an incredibly complex character, and I love that part of the series where he's he's an evil mastermind, but he is 12 and he's still growing. And so that's really fun to play with. And I think, to be fair, you know, there's a lot of problems. We can look around our world and pretty easily point to things that we don't like. So I admit my kind can be dreadful. I think that's how it goes. But here's my problem with just, you know, having the fairies talk about the mud people, talk about the pollution. You know, there's a scene with a whaling ship, which is pretty dreadful. And here's my problem with just focusing on this element at the beginning and not even giving clues about anything else beyond the depravity of humanity, is that there is goodness. And I think one of the things that really irked me while I was reading this is just the fact that it ignores the beautiful side of humanity. The way we hunger for magic, the way we hunger for something deeper, that it ignores the people who do make a difference, the people who are capable of goodness. We are broken. Humanity is broken, but we are very capable of being powerful agents for good. The brokenness that the author points out in the book, the brokenness that he's showing, the evil that has been done by humanity, or the tendency towards evil that humanity has, is not a death sentence. It's not a destiny. All humans are destined to be bad. It's a challenge. We could think of it like a challenge that we have to overcome. We can be capable of powerful good, and that's kind of the goal. That's something to strive for. I think the other thing that really irked me when the fairies keep talking about the selfishness of humanity, the way that humans only think about themselves, they destroy everything around them, is that the fairies in this book are often quite rude. The mythical creatures are, you know, kind of, they're not polite to each other, they've got tensions, they're very selfish. They're displaying the kinds of human flaws that really lead to a lot of the bigger problems that we see. And so it is kind of frustrating to have characters who are supposedly not human, displaying a lot of negative human traits and then kind of hypocritically poking fun at, you know, pointing out all the flaws in humanity. So I feel like it's a little double standard there. And just a little annoying as well to read through this time around, reading a book that is not, instead of kind of uplifting humankind, it takes a moment to poke fun at it. You got to be in the right mood for it, I guess. But reading this time around, it made me think about how I want to affirm humans are capable of goodness, and we owe it. Because we're capable, with great power comes great responsibility. Like I said in an earlier podcast, but we are capable of it. So we must, you know, that's the challenge. That's what we got to strive for. All right. And finally, the thing that really irked me about this time reading it through was the poorly written sentences. I realized that incomplete sentences which don't serve a purpose are a little bit frustrating. I've actually read books with quite a bit of incomplete sentences. And there are some books that I actually don't mind that in. If you think about that famous book, Hatchet, My Hatchet. So these are not sentences, but the author's trying to be dramatic. I don't mind when authors are trying to be really dramatic, or when they're trying to show a train of thought where somebody is kind of thinking these fragmented pieces of sentences, and they're trying to capture that flow of thought, and they're using incomplete sentences that way. So, I'm not saying that any book with an incomplete sentence is bad. There are some books that I read that have a lot of incomplete sentences, and I still enjoy them. But I felt like in this case, the narrator was not using complete sentences, and it was starting to get to the point where it was a little bit distracting, and a little bit frustrating. Not because I'm irritated at the narrator for not having a certain standard necessarily, but we're talking about, the book is about Artemis Fowl, this genius mastermind who, you know, I feel like should be really smart if he's a genius mastermind. So anyways, that was one thing that kind of irked me. So I paused reading it this time around because I'm looking, I think at this point, for books that don't unmagic magic, that don't bash humans, and that don't have incomplete sentences for not, which incomplete sentences, which I have a hard time finding a good reason for. I'm not just going to leave it there, though. I don't want to just bash the book, but I want to start. There's like implicit claims, I guess, in this book. The implicit claims of, you know, potentially magic isn't as magical as we thought. Humans aren't as good as we think. And sentences aren't, you know, good sentences aren't always needed. So I'd like to make three bold and explicit claims in response to this. And keeping in mind as well that if I read it in 2 weeks, you know, maybe I'll really enjoy Artemis Fowl. I'll really love it and I'll be able to overlook all of these things. But in the mood I'm in right now, I want to make three claims back to the book. Not saying that these are things that the author does not believe. So the author may agree with me on all of these things. But just three things that I felt I wanted to say after having read the book. Number one. Thinking and writing in more complex, complete sentences is something I want to improve on. And I can improve on that by reading good books. I have noticed that when I read really good literature, I tend to be able to speak more eloquently and think more complex thoughts, and that's what I'd like to do. So the first thing I want to point out is it's complete sentences are a beautiful thing, and I want to strive for that complexity and not just break sentence rules without a good reason for it. Number two, I want to say humans are capable of tremendous good, which is why it's so terrible when we mess up, because then it is our fault. But we also can be the answer to change. We can change the world, or we can be the answer to the problem. So number two, I just want to affirm that humanity can be really beautiful if we step up. And number three, I want to say there is magic in the ordinary. There's still mystery in modernity. So, is there a book that bothers you? Maybe you feel uncomfortable with an implicit claim. I encourage you to take a stance. I encourage you to take a stance and look at how you would respond. Look inside yourself. How would you respond to this? What claim, what explicit claim would you make back to the book? And if you are interested in Artemis Fowl, I would still say, give it a go. Check it out. And then let me know what you think about all of these themes. It's interesting, but it made me want to just affirm that there is magic in the ordinary and there's mystery around us. Happy reading, friends.